The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Survivor Series was on Sunday, and tonight we are actually talking about wrestling, so we're going to talk about that, plus NXT War Games, plus all the news and the things from this week that deserve to be talked about, including some big debuts on Raw, the same debut a few days later on SmackDown with different people, and we're going to talk about that with you guys tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host for the evening, and with me, as always, is the five-star man at the end of the table.
Yes.
Allie Abear to my right.
Hello.
Allie.
Yes.
Thanks for being here. And Dalton to my left.
Yo.
The big D.
Uh-huh.
What does the D stand for?
Dalton.
Exactly. There's no U in it either, Mimi.
No, not a single U. There's a me. There's my name. But
right.
There's no U.
Okay. Well, that comedy bit's dead. So, let's kick off with Survivor Series and the weekend of wrestling in general. Let's actually start with War Games. Since War Games NXT was on Saturday, Survivor Series was on Sunday, it was a tale of two pay-per-views. And they were very different from what I understand. I did not get to see War Games, but you guys gush over it like teenage boys who got their first kiss.
Yeah.
Whereas Survivor Series is your third marriage.
See, but you don't understand.
And you've given up on hope and love.
One of the wrestlers said the other wrestler's name. So, I mean, we're pretty excited.
And they actually did play the song Say My Name, Say My Name during that.
If only. That would have been amazing. No, NXT War Games was just stupid good.
Yeah, no.
Like this, and when we do the end of the year thing here in a couple weeks, it's one of those where I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it because maybe it's just the fact that it was so new and like watching it, not knowing, you know, the results and everything. But I genuinely think it's a much shorter card.
Yeah.
But that could be my event of the year.
Well, I saw the Velveteen Dream match tonight, and it was really, really good. And then we saw some of War Games itself, and I think the women's match.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those were really well done. Oh, and the Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it all looked pretty, pretty good. I still haven't seen Almas versus Drew McIntyre.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that
from what I understand, the whole show was good.
The weird thing is, it's like, so the Ohno Sullivan match was very much just what it was. That was to get Lars Sullivan a substantial win.
Mm-hmm.
On a bigger stage for NXT. And it was entertaining. Like, Ohno was really good. It was a very hard-hitting match, but it only went like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything super groundbreaking, but it was really, really well done.
Lars Sullivan, Allie, and you know how big Cassius Ohno is, did a pop-up power slam. Like, tossed him up, caught him, power slammed him.
Yeah, it was pretty
impressive.
Cassius
Ohno.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Biggie.
And then after that, it just, somehow they just kept building to just incredible finishes to matches. Because the next match was the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream, which had a, you know, which
Black Mass is the just best looking and sounding finisher.
And I don't know. Like, it's one of those things, like, watching it, I genuinely have no idea how
they don't die.
That works.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he's just kicking their head off of their shoulders.
It's very realistic, too. You know, in wrestling, a lot of the time, with finishing moves especially, there's a setup or you could tell they have to help him out with it. Mm-hmm. Like, take the Canadian Destroyer.
Right.
Incredible looking finisher.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of have to suspend your belief a little bit.
Right.
Or disbelief. With this, though, like you said, he's kicking his face off.
Right.
It looks like a legitimate move you would use in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it so quickly.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. And then, so that match then went into the women's championship match.
Which was really, really good.
You know, crowning four huge names to crown a new from the vacant NXT women's championship.
Super happy Ember Moon finally won the title.
And
I'm so happy about that.
That goes into the NXT championship, which had just a super surprising kind of out of nowhere, amazing finish, which then went into the War Games match itself, which was just like 36 minutes of insanity.
Yeah.
Or
sanity. Well,
sanity.
Yeah.
But so, and it.
And Roderick Strong, you know.
Oh, that, all right, that's my.
Cosplaying as the, as an author of pain.
That's my biggest issue.
As a ghostwriter of pain.
With that entire, it's just him wrestling in the authors of pain.
Did you see what was on the vest?
No.
The name? It said Toka.
He put more effort into being one with the team than John Cena did.
That's true.
Was John Cena at
No, but for the Survivor Series match, and they all came out wearing blue or SmackDown shirts, and Cena just comes out in his new shirt.
Well, Cena was in that match?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit.
But yeah, so it was just, the NXT card was amazing. That Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black match was incredible. And it's one of those things where you can show, like, how strong both of those characters are is what carried that match, because the beginning of it was pretty much just taunts and chain wrestling.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, you know, the last, you know, three quarters of that match where they really kind of upped the game, like that line salt crossbody.
Yeah.
The fact that Velveteen had Aleister's face on his tights.
That is some Rick Rude level of taunting right there, and I could not love that more.
Yeah. On the other side was his face. And then on the middle, which I noticed this today, right above or right under the waistband, it said, "Say my name," which is the basis of the entire feud.
And that sounds like that would just be a terrible feud. Like that, on paper, a guy named the Velveteen Dream feuding with Aleister Black over him saying his name sounds like that would just be the dumbest thing, yet it works so well.
It's so amazing.
The crowd reaction at the end when he said Velveteen Dream was, and it was just a good ending.
They were chanting, "Say his name,"
right,
the entire time.
And this is the first time I've seen Velveteen Dream wrestle. And I kind of had a fear of it because just looking at him, the few times I've seen him, I thought, well, he looks kind of ridiculous. Is this going to be a gimmick character? Is this terrible? No, he was really, really good, and he plays the character well.
This will tie back later in the show, but Patrick Clark, who is Velveteen Dream, he was on that season of Tough Enough with Hulk Hogan, Paige, and Miz. And we were talking about that because whenever he got eliminated, I think it was like midway through the season, Miz was going to kill everybody.
Miz went off. On Hogan.
Because he was that big of a fan of Patrick Clark?
Because Patrick Clark was the only one who gave a about pro wrestling. Like, and he clearly had just raw, he was 19 at the time, but he had raw talent. And one of the reasons the other people didn't like him is because in the promo contest, he played to the crowd. And like, the only reason you won is because the crowd liked you. What do you think cutting a promo is?
Yeah.
So.
That's bad.
And so Miz was just like, y'all are stupid for letting him be in the bottom three, because it was one of those things where they would nominate who should go in the bottom three, and then whoever got the least amount of votes was eliminated. And he got the least amount of votes, even though he shouldn't have even been in the bottom three. And now he is the he's the only remaining cast member.
Nope. There's two more, and we'll go back to it later.
I'm pretty sure.
Women.
Of that season?
Yep. We'll put a pin in it. We'll go back to it later.
From Raw. That's all I'll say. No, we'll still go into later. Who won that? Just remind me.
ZZ?
No, ZZ didn't.
Josh? Was his name Josh?
It was the one that made that tweet about the social jobbers. Yeah. It was that guy.
But he's gone now.
Yeah, I don't think he's with the
because
company
anymore.
Because
he was an ass.
Yeah.
He was a jackass.
But he looked a lot better than ZZ. He like, and they usually have a guy win those ever since they stopped doing two different at a time. Because they had one season where they had two women win it. It was like second or third season.
Wasn't that the one with, was it Jackie Gata and,
Jackie Gata, and she ended up being...
Oh, the African-American woman, wasn't
it? Yeah, I can't think of... She was with the Basham Brothers, though. She was the dominatrix.
This is going to drive me crazy.
I can't
someone
think of
out there
name.
Right now is screaming. Someone is screaming at their jukebox right now.
It'll be
this.
Me whenever I figure it out tonight. Like, just it'll come to my head at that point. I'll look it up while we talk.
Okay, very good.
Did
it start with an S?
It did, and that's the part that's making me upset, because I can't think of who it is.
God, remember the Bashams?
Sarah Lee?
No. Basham Brothers.
She was the female winner of that season of Tough Enough.
Maybe it wasn't Jackie Gata, but it was definitely... Okay. Well, while he's looking that up, let's talk more about NXT War Games.
Shaniqua! Jesus.
Is it really Shaniqua?
Yeah, and I didn't want to take that guess because it sounds bad.
It sounds... Yeah, I'm going to put you on a list. You and Moon Man hanging out. no.
Oh.
But from what I saw of War Games, it did look fantastic, and we will go back and watch that at some point.
Yeah, it's worth watching. If
before
you have
my network subscription runs out.
Well, the War Games match itself was crazy brutal.
Because Alexander Wolf almost killed himself, right?
Well, he almost got killed. Had staples put into his head mid-match.
But it was his move, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his move.
Yeah, he suplexed him backwards.
He German suplexed one of the Authors of Pain through two tables. Off the top rope. Split the side of his head wide open. You can see the, like, certain camera cuts, just the pool of blood on the table. And they didn't go back to that side of the ring.
Yeah, you know, that brings up an interesting point to me, though, and I'm curious. Why did they allow the match to continue?
We don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe it's because Dane legitimately ate the key.
Because you're thinking what I'm thinking, right? You're thinking back to Samoa Joe versus
And that we talked about that as it was happening, And that's not the only time blood happened that night.
Yeah, because Adam Cole also busted his head open in that match.
And I think Eric Young also was bleeding. And during the Aleister Black, he had some blood.
Yeah, because it was one of the, like during the War Games match, it literally got to the point of just being like, we can't tell if that's their blood or it's somebody else's blood on them. And it wasn't like
aside you made me bleed my own blood.
Like in aside from Wolf, like there wasn't a lot of visible blood until about midway through the match. But whenever Wolf got busted open, you didn't see him for like 5 minutes, and then he just reemerged and kept doing, as I think Billy Hill said, dumb bumps. There was a top of the cage superplex. Because they took the – all right, Allie, the original War Games, there was a the cage was topped off. There was no way to get on top of it.
And apparently Vince McMahon made the decision to take that cage top off.
There was a – I think it was a conference call where Triple H said if we put the cage top on top – like if we put it on there, it's going to cut back on what some of the wrestlers can do. And I didn't like that when I heard it like in an article. And then whenever I saw that there was no top, I really didn't like it because I knew something was going to happen off the top of the cage. I didn't think it was going to be a superplex.
Do you remember – sorry, so I just – make sure I'm not crazy or if you guys remember this. Do you remember Psycho Sid in WCW during War Games when he tried to – I think it was Brian Pillman. He tried to powerbomb him and they had the cage top. Mm-hmm. And what happened is when he picked him up for the powerbomb, Pillman's foot hit the top of the cage and Sid just let him go because he couldn't pull him up anymore. And it almost dropped him on his head and broke his neck.
Yeah.
So I think that may be also part of the reason why they took the cage
top. Yeah, because
off.
You can't even do a vertical suplex.
Right. Like, it's too short.
Yeah. So people were like traditionalists, purists were mad that the roof was taken off. I had no problem with it because that was actually something – because like going back and watching old War Games matches, like these guys can't move.
Right.
And especially – like these guys couldn't move in the 80s and 90s.
This is a new generation.
Let alone what is going on in the ring in 2017.
Right.
I would have to go back and like compare it, but I also think it was a taller cage that they were using.
I don't think it was.
If they were using
an NXT maybe, but.
Yeah, the NXT, no, the war, like the old WCW, NWA, those were a low cage, but this was definitely a taller cage because remember Adam Cole was on the top rope and there was still like
another two. It was just like the normal cage.
Yeah, it was the normal cage. They just put two of them together.
Yeah, because the War Games cage, I mean, it was barely above their heads.
Right? Yeah.
But it was above Psycho Sid's head. He was taller, but yeah, there's no way that a wrestler in this day and age could get away with that. That's like wrestling in Delta.
Ace's least favorite part, I think, of the War Games setup was the nice strip of diamond plate through the middle of the ring.
Because where they attached the two rings together. Yeah. Dolan's like, oh, I want someone to take a bump on that.
We almost got it like four times.
Because you're gross. We got it multiple times too. And it was gross every time.
It weren't hard bumps. They fell on
okay.
You get in there.
Yeah.
You get in there.
Well, like, the apron's the hardest part of the ring. Then they just put metal on top of it. That'll help soften the blow.
Oh.
The only complaint I have about that match, other than like I don't like seeing people almost die,
yeah,
was the ending was really weird. Like you see Adam Cole take a superplex off of the top of the cage onto like everybody else.
Except Wolf.
Because Wolf was getting staples put in his head. But the finish of the match was a running knee strike and Eric Young pulled the chair up in front of his face. And the commentary team did a good enough job of covering it by saying, oh, well, he might have been trying to block the knee. But it just – so it felt anticlimactic.
Looked a little choreographed.
Not even – no. No, no. It was just anticlimactic.
Just the ending
after,
itself.
After seeing Killian Dane do a coast-to-coast, I don't know. Him doing the Michinoku driver from Red Dragon A onto Red Dragon B, that it just felt anticlimactic. But it was an amazing match. Like, the physicality of it was insane. Just and we it's been a really long time since we've seen a match that brutal.
That sounds like the whole pay-per-view. So I still call them pay-per-views.
I mean,
that's old school lingo.
Survivor Series apparently and you could either, you know, join the WWE network for $9.99 or you could pay $25 and watch it.
Well, that's still better than $60 they used to charge every month.
But why would you? Because it's through the same service.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, absolutely. And then we should mention also that Almas won.
Oh, I was gonna
the title.
Because watching the Velveteen Dream Aleister Black match, like, oh, well, there's the match of the weekend. And then this match happens. And it's one of those, like, I told Dalton, I was like, I mean, it's kind of a bummer because, like, there's no chance Almas is winning the championship. Like, they're clearly grooming McIntyre to feud with Adam Cole. So, you know, it'll be a good match, but I'm not, like.
You didn't put your heart
into
it.
I'm not super invested in it.
Yeah. And Almas at TakeOvers. Before, like, the Gargano one never won TakeOver matches.
Right.
Well, actually, no. I think he's only lost one.
But so he, and the end, and at a point in the match, Vega hits her, Hurricane Rana, like face plant. Almas immediately hits his, I can't think of the name of the hammerlock DDT.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, that's, and then Drew kicks out and it's like, oh, well, clearly this is,
there
like,
it is.
There it is. And then Almas ends up winning in that crazy hammerlock DDT off of the top turnbuckle, which, just to jump ahead in one of the stories, is apparently that's how McIntyre possibly tore his bicep. So, which I don't think that has, there, we haven't gotten an update on that since the post show with the NXT. But, and then Almas wins the NXT championship. It's like, oh, holy crap.
Now that wasn't a call on the fly, right?
No, no.
Okay. No, we high-fived after that, which doesn't happen often.
I was super excited because I've loved Almas since the beginning.
He's
amazing.
Like,
ever since they turned him, I'm super on board. And so to see him beat McIntyre was super surprising, and yes, I loved it.
When you told me that he was in the main event for it, I just thought, well, that there's an easy main event to guess.
Right.
You know? And then they do something legitimately surprising.
Yeah.
But is it surprising in the same way? Because I haven't watched NXT in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Was it surprising in the same way that Jinder Mahal suddenly winning was surprising?
No.
Or was this a much better build-up of Almas's
persona? It was much better build-up, and also it's something like, oh, no, we've seen – there has been a clear path of progression. He comes in like a house on fire, stalls, then they go into the turn where he cares more about partying and women than about wrestling. Then we get the, okay, here's his new manager, Vega, his business associate. And now that she's in his corner, he's racking up win after win on NXT at TakeOver. And now, okay, he's in a position where he can challenge for the championship. And yes, he's an underdog going in, but then he wins it. So there was a clear path built as opposed to, okay, we heard him. Now he's back, but he's big. He's losing a lot. And now he wins two matches and now he's champion.
Because that went well.
I was happy for him.
At the time.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, maybe they'll do something cool. They did not.
No.
So hopefully, but, and what they've been doing with Almas so far has been amazing. And what Vega adds to his act is almost stupid.
I just like hearing you say Vega. As a Street Fighter player, makes me happy. So War Games, thumbs up. Go watch it.
Yeah.
If you're going to watch any wrestling this weekend, go watch, or last weekend, from last weekend, watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Survivor Series.
Oh, can we?
Can we? And we can.
We kind of have to.
Yeah. I'm not even gonna give this the thumbs down because I don't think it was a thumbs down event. It was a good event.
No, yeah,
a lot
fine.
Of the matches were great. The New Day Shield match was really good.
Yeah.
I saw the thing where, when Woods and Rollins got in the ring together for the first time, Woods saluting him because Rollins
captain.
Was the captain.
Yeah.
Mm, makes my heart happy. And
I wasn't
sad because they fought.
That wasn't too upset that Shield won, but I kind of wanted New Day to win, but they really didn't need it. Neither team really needed it.
No, and it's one of those things that's like, I personally would have rather had New Day win because, as they pointed out, like, they never broke up.
Right.
They have been a cohesive unit for years now, and it just would have been nice. But I get what, you know, they're pushing the Shield really hard, you know.
Yeah.
That's
we have
the
a new champion.
One. That's their first match officially back together.
As a trio.
Yeah, so so there was no way they were going to lose that either, but
there were a bunch of, I mean, all of the matches were solid. They really were. I can't think of a match that I really went, oh, that's a terrible match. Before we get to the best match on the show, I thought, I do want to mention, I thought about this last night as I was like walking to the bathroom at 4 a.m.
As most great thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought, man, think about it. All of the most recent title changes in WWE have happened on TV, not on pay-per-view, and they have happened all in the span of like 3 months. And it really struck me. It's like, okay, Natalya dropped it to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And even on Raw.
The Bar.
Miz dropped it to Roman.
Right.
Bar dropped it to, the Shield.
Shield dropped it to the Bar.
Oh yeah, Shield dropped it to the Bar. It's just been, Mahal dropped it to AJ. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And none of these have happened on their big shows. These have just randomly happened on SmackDowns and Raws. And I get your thinking is that, well, it kind of entices people to think, well, anything can happen on these shows. And that's true. But there's also something that needs to be said about saving it for the big moments. Because Survivor Series didn't have any big moments.
They also had to shuffle
except
around.
For one.
They also had to shuffle around the card for Survivor Series. So they had to do it on TV.
Right, because they.
To get to the matches that they wanted to get to.
Which is just shitty planning.
Yeah.
Is what it is. That's just poor planning.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about something positive before we talk about the most negative. The AJ Styles match with Brock Lesnar, I thought was really good.
It was the best match Brock Lesnar has had since he came back.
Yeah, he really brought his game on that. And from the beginning, the knee.
I stand by that. You can tilt your head at me, but
I will.
When you say back, you like from the very moment he laid Cena out.
Yeah.
I agree with him. I mean, because there have been moments.
I'm not saying he's had bad matches. Like, which some of the matches he's done have been bad.
Yeah, some of them have.
But this was, I think this was the best match he's had. And because I know he had like really good ones with Cena and Triple H. Even the Undertaker, like even the Undertaker one.
But this was technically sound. It was a good story. I agree with you. I think this was the best.
If it wasn't for the commentary and where it was on the card, this probably would have been, this could have been one of my favorite matches of the weekend. Except it came off of SmackDown winning 2 in a row. And the commentary team pointed out that to stay in contention for winning the night, Raw had to win the next two matches.
That ruined,
which
for
were
me
the
too.
Last two matches.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, well, they're not just going to put SmackDown ahead and then have the main event
not matter.
Team Raw versus Team SmackDown be irrelevant.
Right.
So there's no way that AJ wins this.
And that's kind of sad because that takes you out of it.
It 100% did.
But it doesn't take it away from the fact that the match itself was good.
Oh, yeah. I was still able to enjoy it. But at no point did I actually believe, even when Brock was selling like hell in the calf crusher.
Yeah.
There wasn't a second that I thought that he was going to tap.
And then he hit the phenomenal forearm. Mm-hmm. Lesnar kicked out.
Springboard 450.
And I really get it. Like, I get it. Even from just a basic, like, oh, well, look at them. It makes sense mm-hmm. that it would take more to put Lesnar down as opposed to Lesnar putting AJ down. Because Lesnar is bigger and stronger, whatever.
Right.
But I still hated it. I still hate that he kicks out of those moves. And then it took one F5. Like, couldn't you just have one time where AJ gets a foot up on the rope on one F5?
Shannon. How amazing is it going to be?
No, please, Asa.
When Roman kicks out
Asa,
of the
please.
F5. No one has ever kicked out of the F5. Roman has never kicked out of the F5.
Yeah.
So when that happens, we're all going to be, it's going to be insane.
Are you wearing socks?
No.
Not
good.
Anymore.
Yeah, because they're going to get blown off.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, and I saw the argument from a couple people we know on Facebook, and I put my two cents in about it, where why is the F5 being so protected now to where pre-WWE, him winning him beating Cena at SummerSlam like 2 years ago. People were kicking out of the F5.
People are still kicking out of the F5 up until Goldberg. Like, up until he won it back from Goldberg.
Yeah. But it's one of those just being like, well, no, so whenever, well, it makes sense because then Roman's gonna like kick out of four of them. Yeah, but it doesn't help your champion if he's never in deep water. And yeah, you can say like, yeah, he was in that calf crush really hard and Joe and Strowman took him out. Or he took those two out, but they gave it to him. They didn't kick out of the F5. That's it. We complain about false finishes, but they're necessary in this like championship kind of build. Cena, the attitude adjustment doesn't put anybody away anymore.
It takes four.
It takes four of them. Yeah. It takes a top rope one.
Well, it depends though.
And then you get that like, and we've seen it so many times now, but think about the Undertaker whenever people really started kicking out of the Tombstone.
Shocking.
The look on Taker's face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't get that with Brock.
Nope. With anybody.
We don't get that deep, like, we don't get that deep water vibe from Brock because it's just like, no, he hasn't hit an F5 yet. He's going to hit that one F5. It's going to put him down for three. And then we're going to be like, well, that was a good match up until the ending.
And it's one of those things too, like, it would make more sense if they did it with anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, as well. Like, if you have, okay, no one kicks out of the F5. If you had everyone else on the roster, if they hit their finisher and that was the finish of the match.
Yeah.
Every time, then yeah, it would get kind of predictable, but at the same time, it would make more sense as opposed to just this one guy has this one move that for the last year, we're going to pretend is the end all be all. They're doing a great job of it in NXT with the Eclipse because they didn't have 3 years of Ember Moon hitting the Eclipse and people kicking out.
Yeah, it was just Asuka.
Just at once.
Like, right. Asuka has kicked out of it once, and when that happened, she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was genuinely surprising.
Go back to like, I know I bring up Hulk Hogan a lot on the show, but go back to like Hogan versus Warrior. Leg drop versus the splash.
The body slide.
Yeah. Part of the reason that worked was because you knew how devastating their finishers were. And oh my God, if someone hits it, what's it going to be? You could have that with Lesnar. And if you had another guy, even Roman Reigns, if Roman Reigns had the Superman punch, which is a stupid move and no one ever kicked out of it, and then Reigns fought Lesnar, you could go, oh man, no one is kicked out of either their finisher. What's going to happen if someone hits it? But you don't get that these days.
Especially because
just with
like,
Brock Lesnar.
The spear isn't as protected. Like, it's pretty, like, not many
His
people
spears,
kick
yeah.
out of it. And that's another thing that they've been kind of trying to do.
But it's a common move.
But it's a very, it's a, multiple people on the roster do one.
Right.
Which is.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Rhino.
Which probably shouldn't happen.
That's a gore. If,
oh man, didn't somebody use a spear on NXT? Because there, there was like four or five moments on NXT TakeOver where they used a finisher of somebody that was wrestling the next night.
Yeah, Roderick Strong hit the Olympic Slam.
Somebody put
Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly did the Coquina Clutch. Well, the rear naked choke. And just stuff like that. And they kind of did it with Neville. Like for the longest time, no one kicked out of the Red Arrow.
Yeah.
They even had Seth Rollins like get his foot on the ropes when that for that United States Open Challenge. Was that WWE Championship?
No, I know what you're talking about.
But they wrestled and Seth Rollins didn't kick out. He got his foot on the rope.
Right.
Which even like
which if they AJ, could have done with AJ,
if AJ
yeah.
could have done that, then you can still say no one kicks out of the F5.
He just got
AJ
lucky.
AJ barely survived it.
Yeah, finishers need to be protected.
Right.
Or otherwise you can't call them finishers anymore.
And it's one of those like, all right, so let's say after he hit that first F5, AJ Styles kicks out of it. Lesnar can look shocked for a second, stand up, pick him up, F5 him again and win. I would have preferred that.
Yeah. That would make more sense.
Because it's just one of those being like, no, Brock Lesnar doesn't get shocked. After Goldberg, he changed the way he thought. Now, he just wants to win. Mm-hmm. If somebody kicks out of the F5, trust me, they're still messed up. They're not going to get up right after that. He'll pick him up and do it again.
Yeah.
Or he'll put him in the Kimura lock. Or he'll do something to win other than that.
He doesn't even have to look shocked. Like, he can look amused. Like, if AJ Styles kicks out of the F5, like,
she could laugh out.
Just kind of
smile, grab him
okay.
by the hair.
Like, yeah.
Do
yeah.
it again.
I hate that. And we've said it a million times on the show before, how they treat finishers now, especially on pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. It's like on TV, you can hit a guy with your finisher and that'll probably put him down. But on a pay-per-view, it takes four of them.
It does 0.25% damage.
Yeah, because they all have bonuses.
They get
to their
debuffed
health.
Every other Sunday.
I hate that.
And in fair, like, if you look at other sports that makes, you can draw a comparison to it. The only difference is in like an NBA finals or NFL Super Bowl. You get that once a year, whereas opposed to wrestling fans, we get pay-per-views every month.
Right.
So it's very exposed to being like, well, no, they bring out everything they can for these big shows. That makes sense in like the sporting event world because it only happens once a year. We get it like 12 to 14 times.
Yeah, I look at it kind of like combat sports and MMA and stuff like that. You know, when you fight once a year, maybe twice a year, mm-hmm. You're going to go into every fight wanting to win and bring in your all. I feel like even though wrestlers do it weekly, you would still have that same mentality of, and again, we know it's scripted. We all know that, but you're presenting the story. Right. And I'm sure no one would just go into a match going, this is on Raw. I can afford to lose, but
and
it's a pay-per-view.
And if they do, that would be part of their character and it would be mentioned.
Yeah. It wouldn't just be a thing.
Right. Like Kevin Owens' prize fighting thing whenever he first came into the main roster of just being like, I would wrestle, but it's not on my terms and the money's not there. Mm-hmm. Like you can have things like that, but yeah, I get like, what I just said was just kind of it makes sense, but in this realm, it is diminished really quick.
It's a crazy realm we live in the wrestling world. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. But, let's not spend all of our time talking about AJ and Brock. It was a good match. It was the best match on the card, I think, by far. In a show of pretty good matches. Charlotte versus Alexa Bliss was really good.
I wouldn't say there was a bad match.
Right.
No.
No, I'm just saying this was the best match for me.
I also really loved the Usos versus the Bar.
Well, yeah, you knew that was going
to
be solid.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be good, but it lived up to my expectations and then some.
Like,
that
was what was your favorite match on the show? I'm curious.
Since
you were the one that watched the most. Because to be fair, Asa, me, and Jesse were playing Call of Duty a lot, and Dalton was playing. What were you playing over there? You were playing something different. It was Allie and Billy were the only ones watching the whole show.
No. I was watching. I was simming Injustice 2.
Oh,
yeah. So
what was your favorite match?
I really liked Alexa versus Charlotte and the Usos versus the Bar.
I really did like the Alexa Charlotte match too, and I thought it was a good showing. You knew Charlotte was going to have a good showing. I very much underappreciate Charlotte sometimes.
It's easy to do with the way that her and Sasha both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the way they were treated on Raw. It's the Dolph Ziggler thing.
Yeah.
Like, man, I want to care about you, but they're not really giving me a whole lot of incentive to.
And Alexa, they've done a great job character wise.
And when I say they, I mean WWE, not the individual performer, because the individual performers are amazing.
But let's not talk about that because we're already at 20 minutes. Let's talk about the main event. The Survivor Series match itself. And I love the Survivor Series. Behind the Royal Rumble, it goes back and forth for me because I love both the gimmick matches. I love them. But I've always been a huge fan of Survivor Series. I love the team ups and stuff. I grew up on this stuff. You know, you go back and watch some of those promos where you got the big boss man standing with, you know, Hogan and Hacksaw and all these people there. I love it. I didn't love this in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
One, I didn't like the teams. The guys were great, but some of the match, like, I hated that Triple H put himself in there. I hate it. And I get that's your narrative, and I know I'm. Here's a prediction of who is going to disagree with me: Heath Hatton, Billy Hills, probably Sarah, maybe. And that's fine. They can disagree with me. Like we can all disagree. Like, and I'm not going to shit on their opinions.
Yeah.
But I hated the way Triple H put himself in the match. I hate that. Oh, go ahead, Dom.
And I'm sorry to cut you off on this, but also when looking at the team, even with Jason Jordan instead of Triple H, Team Raw still looked way too overpowered compared to Team SmackDown. And I'm including with John Cena.
So let's talk about that too. So John Cena is in the Survivor Series match.
Gets announced a week and a half ahead of time.
Which sounds like a cheat code. John Cena's in the match. It really does. Sounds like a cheat code. Everyone comes out in red and blue to match their people.
Except
John Cena.
Shinsuke got whole new gear. He got a whole new leather jacket from his leather guy.
Even Triple H came out and it wasn't a Raw shirt.
But it was still red.
And then John Cena comes out in his bright colored whatever it was.
It was bright green.
Yeah.
Which immediately sets him apart. Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, we're back to the John Cena show.
And then
except it wasn't.
No, it's like, what did he even do in that match? What was
his purpose?
I can't
remember anything. I can't. I think he put someone out.
He and Orton shoved Braun.
He was very enthusiastic on the apron.
All right,
oh,
so,
that was a little sickening.
So, Allie mentioned that because it was right whenever Balor and Nakamura got in the ring at the same time and Cena looked into it. And she was like, oh, he looks like he's so happy. And then I looked at Allie and I was like, and that's the one thing I hate about John Cena on the apron. Cause he's a doofus. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do. Like, he has so much charisma. And I know, like, for this kind of match, it's just like, yeah, no, he's not going to take this seriously. He's very Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. But John Cena on any apron, I don't know how this very charismatic performer who can make me believe anything in the ring can't stand on an apron properly.
The main event reminded me of shitposting.
Did you see?
Yeah. That's what Cena was doing. Yeah.
Did you see Balor in some of his reactions?
Yeah. Oh, God.
They've gotten gifts. Like the one where Bobby Roode starts to do the
thing
to Triple H. And he's just shaking his head like, no, don't do it.
Don't do it.
And then he did the same thing to Cena.
So it was really cool. Shane and Kurt Angle and Triple H and Cena get out of the match almost immediately. It comes down to...
What?
Those
were the last ones.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of what it should have been. Here's what it actually was. My bad.
It's like you didn't even watch this.
I stroked out a little bit. What actually happened is that Nakamura ate the pin first.
Yep.
And there was succession to get those guys out of the way because there was two missions in this match. One, get over Braun Strowman. Good idea. That's a good idea. Get over Triple H. That's a bad idea. That's a pointless idea because not only was Triple H one of the last survivors, he won the match for Raw. He beat everybody. He tricked everybody. You got to get that young talent over. And then he did eat.
To be fair, this is it's less putting over Triple H and more it's setting up. Excuse me, Triple H versus Kurt Angle, and or what I'm really hoping for is Jason Jordan.
Triple H versus Jason
I'm not
Jordan.
But I'm not even hoping. I would rather see Jason Jordan versus Kurt Angle.
I mean, it's going to be like Strowman versus Triple H in the end.
And also,
that's what it's going to be.
Slow your roll about the whole putting young talent over. He got one over on Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle. The SmackDown team, the youngest guy was Randy Orton.
What was Triple H not the one that won the match and had his hand raised in the end? Did it have to be Triple H? Did Triple H need to interject himself? And okay, no, I'm gonna get angry about
it.
Like, and we're gonna yell at each other.
Triple H didn't.
Is this not the same old shit though? Of them putting the guys that shouldn't be in there anymore? Why was the focus on Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon, and Triple H in a match that had Nakamura, Balor? Why?
Samoa Joe.
I'm seriously asking. I'm not gonna yell over you. I want to know what you think.
Because for the last, when did the screw job happen? 97?
What, Montreal screw job?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, because we just
the
had
big
like,
one.
The 20-year anniversary.
The 20-year anniversary. 20 years, we have had the McMahons in the focal point of feuds for the better part of 20 years. Because that's when the Vince McMahon character was really born.
Right.
All right. And you can say you hate it, you can say whatever, but whenever Vince McMahon shows up on Raw and ratings pop, that's the reason that character has held the test of time. That's the reason his kids' characters have held the test of time. Stephanie's really grading in the last 5 years, and I completely agree with you. But, like, Shane coming back 2 years ago, remember how excited we were for that?
Yeah, because they present it that way.
And he was different. We hadn't seen Shane in such a long time.
But, yeah, no, but, like, what I'm saying is the McMahon characters are a very focal point of WWE Yeah, no, I mean, you can raise your hand.
I am, because I don't want to get into the habit of, like, yelling over you. I really don't want to do that, because that has been a thing lately. And I know what happened to you. I don't want to do that to you.
Yeah.
But my argument would be that the reason, and you're absolutely right, but the point of why they do that is because that's how they present it. Now, imagine if they took that same amount of energy and, oh, look how important these guys are to people like Balor and to people like Nakamura. Put them in the main events. Give them the main storylines. Don't keep giving it to Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon. Their time was over 20 years ago. I also loved the Vince McMahon character 20 years ago. 20 years later, I don't want the Hatfields and McCoys again. Like, give me something different.
Can I?
Yes, please.
Here's the argument in that. And it is everybody, and I'm going to go back to the CM Punk pipe bomb promo. Everybody else, except for the McMahons and Triple H, because he is, for all intents and purposes,
he is a McMahon.
He is a McMahon. Everybody else is a spoke on the wheel. They are the wheel. That's why. Like, yeah. And I mean, is it?
No, you're right.
Is it shitty practice? Yeah, I completely agree.
But they can do that.
But they can, because they know at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to be there.
Yeah, but do you think that at some point in the future, and maybe Vince will die before this happens, and I'm being dead serious, because he is what? He's over 70, right?
I think so, yeah.
And maybe Vince McMahon will die before this happens, but at some point, is there going to be a pushback on that? In the same way that we talked about, like, the EA and Battlefront, that people finally went, okay, I'm tired of this. Like, at some point, because ratings are down. They are down. The business is down.
The business is not down. They just had their most profitable quarter ever.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that, though, I mean, it comes from the network. There's so many things they've added to it that do it. But don't you think eventually there's going to be a slope where people get tired of watching
because the people like us are the minority.
Yeah.
You have to remember, like, WrestleMania, there's literally millions of people who watch this every week.
What was the biggest, and here's my...
Well, that made me feel small.
Yeah. Here's the counter argument, again, because I'm just going to counter this McMahon thing. What was the biggest WrestleMania moment in the last 10 years?
Lesnar and Undertaker.
You really think so?
I do. I do. Like, I'm not saying
that's not even the biggest moment of that show.
What to you was it?
Daniel Bryan.
WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan beating Triple H in the beginning of the show, and then winning, being the underdog for the better part of 6 months, battling Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
I think to you that was the main thing, but I think there's an argument to say that Lesnar versus Undertaker was just as big, because this is the Undertaker losing at WrestleMania.
I agree with Dalton that I think that Daniel Bryan winning that is the biggest moment. Like, that's what I think, but that there's no possible way you can say definitively that it is. That can be your opinion, but that is not.
I think this
it's not
is a 50,
statement.
50
of, it's not a statement
here.
Of fact.
I think that could go either way.
Well, okay, and it can, and I'm okay with it. But when we watch, like, the build up to WrestleMania, I want to keep a counter of how many times we see Daniel Bryan holding up two belts, and how many times we see Brock Lesnar pinning Taker.
But you could also say how many times they've shown that clip of Taker pinning. Or Undertaker, Lesnar and pinning Taker, how many times they went back to that, how that became a focal point of so much. But also, and I will succeed this point, is that what would have changed if Daniel Bryan hadn't left the business?
And that's the big thing of it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we'll never know.
But what I'm getting at is the biggest, like, story coming out of that WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan finally winning those belts, definitively, they're his belts now. He doesn't have to deal with the authorities shenanigans because they went on to the Shield right after that. That was probably the biggest, like, there's a reason that was the opener of the show and the end of the show. And it's because it was the McMahons.
And what you just said, the authority, they went into this other thing. Well, years later, it's still the authority. We're still dealing with the same storyline of Triple H and Stephanie abusing power. Shane's back and all that. And yeah, it may make money. This is a personal opinion.
Yeah.
In the same way that Twilight's a blockbuster, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, just because something makes money doesn't mean it's good. And this is all personal opinion.
And I mean, and don't get me wrong, I am very much on your side.
But we're the minority.
But we're the minority, and I understand the big picture. Like, and I'm not saying you don't.
No,
I'm just saying, like, I can.
We all get it.
Yeah, I can look at the big picture and be like, all right, I completely get it. I'm not a big fan of it. But any other show has its main character, and everything else revolves around that character for the most part.
And my opinion, and I know some people share it, some people don't, is that it's like Donald Trump putting his kids in the White House as employees. If you own the thing, you don't put your children in the main spot, because that's nepotism and it looks terrible. And I wish people would vote with their wallets and go, well, I don't like this. Give me something different, because that's what a lot of people get online and bitch about and moan about, but then they don't do anything about it, including us.
I was going to say, it's like he says on a show where we've spent 50 minutes talking about WWE.
Yeah.
That we watched on the WWE network that we pay for.
Absolutely, including us. So, I will openly admit, hypocrites, but, you know, I still don't like it.
But in fairness, like, with Stephanie and Triple H, they have done nothing but better that company. Not storyline-wise.
Yeah, no. But behind the scenes. We've said before, none of us dislike Stephanie as a person. She's smart, and she's done a lot. She's done great goodwill for the company. Uh-huh. Triple H has been insanely creative in NXT and has done a great job with that. It's just their character work gets old, you know? And then you have guys like Balor and Nakamura who could really use that main event Survivor Series. Oh, look what happened. Look how they got the rub there. And instead, they were an afterthought to push what will eventually be Triple H versus Kurt Angle or Triple H versus Shane McMahon or whatever. And I get it. If it makes some money, cool. But we'll never know how much money they might have made if Balor had been the one to win it all. What was it a couple of years ago? Dolph Ziggler was the sole survivor?
That's because Roman Reigns was hurt.
Because Ziggler had to fill the Roman Reigns spot, and then they literally just said, okay, bye.
But then after that,
because
you would think Ziggler would get the main event push. Oh, look, he won it all. But then they just put the attention on Cena. You know?
Well, they put it back on Reigns.
It was Cena's team.
It's hard to get those two, you know, sometimes I get them mixed together. Also, the fact that Cena was such a non-entity in the match was very confusing.
I think he put out Joe, but the way that they put him, the way that Cena got eliminated was awesome. Because it was Angle, hit him with an Angle Slam. There was a distraction. As he was being distraction, somebody was distracting the ref. Finn hit him with the coup de grace, and then Angle hit him with another Angle Slam.
Which would be how you take John Cena out, because John Cena should be presented as a real threat.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just happy Braun didn't get eliminated this year.
If the goal was to put Braun over,
they did such a good job.
They did a really
good
job of that. Yeah, him putting Triple H down at the end, he looked really strong through the entire thing.
And say what you will about Triple H, but that face.
Yeah, he sold that like a champ.
Yeah, that was. Everybody likes to give Triple H a lot of grief, but there's a reason he's like Mount Rushmore wrestler for me.
Braun forgot the ending. he genuinely thought Triple H turned on him, and he was not happy with
it.
And then he just grabs Triple H, and Triple's like, why is he doing this to me?
If Triple H would have just yelled out, no, not in the script, the script.
That did lead to probably the best moment of Raw, of Stephanie saying that my husband is afraid of no one. And then, Cue Braun's musing is like, actually.
Yeah, because it was Jason Jordan said he wanted a match with him.
Yeah.
And he's like, my husband's afraid of no one. And then music hits. And then Braun was like, I want you. And then Stephanie was like, all right, everybody wants a match. Jason Jordan versus Braun Strowman.
I really
and
thought
the Triple
they were
H got out of the ring.
I thought they were going to do the Triple H Shelton Benjamin thing again, where Jason Jordan, the young upstart, was going to fight Triple H.
That's what I thought too. Yeah,
and I thought that's where they were going with that. And I'm kind of sad they didn't do that.
Yeah, but I think I think we are getting led to Braun Triple H and Jordan Angle, because ProWrestling.net is where I read the recaps of the stuff that I don't watch on YouTube. And one of the things that he noted was, so we've now heard Jason Jordan call Kurt Angle dad twice. The first one as he's begging and pleading to be left on the Survivor Series team. And the second time as he's begging and pleading to have the match canceled because he's too hurt. Even though he already said that he was at 100%. Well, I only said that because it was Triple H. And then you have him fake the knee injury in the middle of the match. So it's like, I think, he pointed that out, and I 100% agree. This is where I would like to think that the seeds are being planted here.
And that should be the story, I think.
Yeah.
Angle versus Jordan.
I want to sidebar that with Raw really quick, because after that match, the Jason Jordan Braun Strowman match, Angle's in the training room taking care of his son. Mm-hmm. And then Miz, who just, or like earlier in the night, they said that he had to face Roman Reigns for the IC belt. Miz goes into the training room talking to Kurt, and he's like, you need to cancel the match. And then Angle's like, do you not see my son sitting right here? And then Miz, with the most Miz-tastic line, just said, he's hurt. He's not going anywhere. I love Miz so much. That was amazing.
All right. So yeah, let's stop talking about Survivor Series. We do have news to cover. So, Survivor Series, we gave a thumbs up to War Games. Will you give us a thumbs up to Survivor Series somewhere in the middle?
We're giving a thumbs up to Survivor Series, then War Games got three thumbs up.
Oh, no, I'm asking. It was a thumbs up to War Games. Survivor Series, where would you put your thumb?
I mean, it was okay. It was one of those
kinda
things
angled
where
toward 2:00.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if War Games hadn't just happened, I'm sure I would have liked it more.
Right.
But NXT does such a good job of setting a bar so high that it's hard for the WWE to follow its own precedent. So, I mean, nothing was bad. nothing super blew me away aside from, like, I really enjoyed AJ Brock. I really enjoyed The Bar and The Usos. Even, like, Miz Corbin. Like, I think they work well together. And having the crowd actually, like, behind Miz.
The crowd was hot, and that helped the show a lot.
Yeah, was really cool. But, I mean,
I thought it was all good to okay. I hated the end of the main event. Everything else I thought was fine.
Everything was okay to good.
Yeah.
I would say thumbs up, but I'm going back to what we said earlier. If you're going to watch wrestling from last weekend, War Games.
Allie.
I mean, I liked it. It wasn't probably as good of storytelling, but all the matches were solid.
And that's important. Yeah. So, all right. So that's your recap of the weekend there, and we did it without yelling at each other. I'm so happy.
I know. It's a first for us.
Well, I've been taking classes.
with Dr. Shelby?
With Dr. Sheds. But now I can't take those classes anymore. So here's the news of the week. And Asa, I'm sorry we're 45 minutes into this before we get to the news. My apologies.
Yeah.
Impact suspends the Hall of Fame. I did not hear this story.
Yeah, pretty like they announced that they're not doing their Hall of Fame anymore.
Okay. Oh, so it's just done.
Yeah.
How many people even went into that? I know Gail Kim and Kurt Angle, right?
And Christian. The Dudleys and Sting.
Did Christian go in?
No, Christian was there because that was when he was the IC champion.
Or, the WWE.
No, he was the ECW champion.
That's what it was.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that the trade-off? Like, didn't they induct Christian?
They inducted Ric Flair, I think.
Yeah, because Christian was just there because it was an anniversary.
He was there as a deal, but he was not a member of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't induct him, but he was there as, like, to...
Get Flair
to,
for...
I don't even know if they put Flair in.
Because I know it was Christian for Flair.
Four Horsemen went in.
Yeah, it was Christian for Flair. That was the talent thing where it's just like, hey, we're going to let... If you let Christian show up, we'll let Flair show up.
Because I think it was Slammiversary, right?
Sting, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Earl Hebner, and Gail Kim, and then Team 3D.
That is a short list for a Hall of Fame right
And
there.
It's also when you look at like some of the homegrown talent, like yes, Kurt Angle was with TNA longer than he was with WWE. Same with the Dudleys.
Jarrett.
Jarrett. But like when you have guys like, I mean, granted, AJ Styles, like they are still in their prime, but there's not a single TNA original on that list.
Right.
Which is kind of
like Raven surprising. Should be in that. I think Raven would
for
be
his
in
work
that.
In TNA because that's what this because this isn't like what you've contributed to wrestling as a whole.
This is strictly in TNA.
This is TNA.
Abyss. Well, and Abyss still wrestles though.
I mean, yeah, but you're right. Like, if anyone goes, well, he has Hogan's Hall of Fame ring. It gives him his powers.
That was the best storyline.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway. Why did they suspend it though?
I'm not entirely sure. I was trying to find that story again and I can't, but yeah, I'm sure it's a temporary thing. Like, I'm sure they'll bring it back here in a couple years, but it's just something that they're not focusing on right now, which is fine. They are busy restructuring the company.
They honestly didn't need a Hall of Fame.
They're moved up to Canada now. Right. So there's other stuff that they need to be focusing on.
The Money in the Bank is now a dual branded show.
Yeah, schedule for
Raw listed for four.
The WWE pay per view schedule was released for 2018. They are down to 18 shows total. They have 14 shows total. Sorry, 5 Raw shows, 4 SmackDown shows, and then 5 dual brand. And then Money in the Bank is one of the. So now it's the big four, and. Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm. Which good. That's
which yeah, the fact that it was a SmackDown exclusive was dumb.
Yeah, anytime you have a gimmick like that and it's just like, but it's only for one group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dumb. It's kind of like Elimination Chamber's a Raw show and that should also be a dual show.
Right.
I miss when the Money in the Bank was at WrestleMania. It was just one match.
Too.
Yeah.
That was a spectacle.
I liked it better than you don't get as many guys on it, but it on the pre-show is way better than the Andre the Battle Royal. Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
I like that gimmick too. Andre the Battle
and that's
Royal.
Definitely not something they can do as a pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, Money in the Bank works as a pay-per-view, but...
But it felt special when it was one match, you know?
Yeah.
Like Elimination Chamber, like you said.
Yeah.
When it's every match, it kind of feels gimmicky, which it is.
And I don't... You have to assume when it's going to be dual-branded, they're going to do a Raw Money in the Bank and a SmackDown Money in the Bank. This is one of those times where it should just be a Money in the Bank contract. You have 4 guys from Raw, 4 guys from SmackDown, and... It's not blue. It's not red. It goes back to just take it back to the black case.
Or gold, then
you can have the thing where, okay, this is just for a world championship match.
You can pick your brand.
Pick your, like, and that's, maybe that's something they don't just flat out announce, but let them tease it. Or have it just be a total surprise and have Kevin Owens cash in on the Universal Champion.
Right. Maybe he wants to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because it's the big money fight.
He never got his rematch.
He really didn't.
Yeah, no, and again, it's one of those, like, that contract thing where it's ambiguous to what they can cash it in towards. That was the best part about WrestleMania 21 with Batista.
You mean when John Cena, The Undertaker, and Bobby Lashley
were
all... No,
that was WrestleMania 23.
Oh, that was the Rumble. That was the Royal Rumble. That wasn't Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, Royal Rumble was... Batista won it, and then it was he could pick Triple H, or I think it might have been JBL.
Oh, was that where they were trying to convince him to pick JBL? Go after JBL.
Yeah, so that way Evolution can have two world titles. Yeah.
Can run all of WWE, both shows.
That was one of my favorite buildups ever.
Oh, yeah, no, that was amazing.
They're doing an Elite from that angle with that Batista, and it comes with the World Heavyweight Championship belt and the contract.
That's awesome.
I'm buying it.
The match was good. It was okay, but that buildup was so
fun. And it's because that you have that ambiguity in it. You can just kind of like, hey.
That was another moment where you have to give Triple H credit for just his facial reaction.
Yeah, when
Batista
awesome.
Gave him the thumbs down.
Thumbs up, yeah. And then Batista's facial reaction.
Yeah.
Just of the, smiley, thumbs down, just stone face.
And the crowd's reaction too. Like, that was good. That was really good. Moving on. And by the way, I'm happy that they're cutting down on pay-per-views.
Yes.
I am. Because it's way oversaturated the way it is right now. So good on them.
It's weird because there is a pretty long stretch where we're not getting a SmackDown dedicated pay-per-view. Because it goes from Payback on May 27th, Money in the Bank is in June, Battleground is a Raw show in July 15th, then there's SummerSlam, which is August 19th, and then Extreme Rules is a Raw show September 16th, with Hell in a Cell being SmackDown on September 30th. So from May to September...
Wow. Like, I miss these shows that weren't gimmicked.
Almost October. You're almost into October.
Yeah.
Before SmackDown gets another pay-per-view on its own. So, I mean, maybe if they had won Survivor Series.
Yeah, they probably got that fifth show.
They'd get that fifth pay-per-view.
I saw the article that said,
USA canceled SmackDown Live after disappointing performance at Survivor Series.
Yeah. I love kayfabe news.
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it.
Anyway. House of Hardcore made its Twitch debut, or will make its Twitch
debut.
It did.
We missed it last week. It was this past Saturday, which we don't have time to get into it, but
it debuted.
Just a cool thing that happened.
Hideo Itami officially going to 205 Live.
Yeah, he got a video package last night on Tuesday night.
Not a surprise.
No, I mean, it's something that had been rumored for a while, but now we actually get there was a moment where Noam Dar, because it cut from there to the Zoe train, and Noam Dar looked absolutely petrified. Like, no one else was really paying attention, but he was, like, looking at the screen just like, like, he was scared.
I love the Zoe train.
Can't wait to see Enzo beat him.
Well, if they play this right, I think they have a really good shot of really rebranding Hideo Itami. Because the injuries in NXT, I think, really took a toll on his character and his game. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is a chance for them to, like, re-debut him and go, oh, look how important he is.
Because it was every time he started to gain momentum. And something people started to really remember, oh, this is why we were hyped for him to come here.
Yeah.
Something would happen. Now this is something where, like, okay, all of WWE, at least the people who watch 205 Live, can go on this journey as well. As opposed to just the NXT crowd, and then no one really know who he is on the main roster.
And it's also a good way to elevate that
Cruiserweight division,
and the title. I thought they did a good job when they put Enzo in there from a entertainment standpoint.
Right.
But now with Itami, it really legitimizes it a lot in a league that shouldn't have to be legitimized when you've got so much great talent.
There's been a lot of starting and stopping with that, just because it's just like, oh yeah, Neville's in there, awesome. Austin Aries is in there against Neville, sweet. Austin Aries left.
But we got Neville still.
We got Neville. All right, also, let's put Enzo in there. All right, we have something really interesting going. Neville walked out, maybe?
But nobody can touch him. Nobody can touch Enzo now because they could drag this game out.
No.
Kalisto won it already?
Yeah, Kalisto won it. Okay, cool. Kalisto has the belt. All right, so we have somebody that's going to have the belt for what? Enzo won it again? Like, it's baffling.
Just put Triple H in charge of 205 Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Send Vince home early.
Just send Vince home. Send him two-way home. There's some nice homes. He can get turkey dinners every night. Stephen Amell and what? Arrow Club?
Arrow Club.
Have you not seen this shirt?
No, I have not.
I'm on it.
Have you also seen him hitting the Indie Taker?
No.
Because he hit the Young Bucks versus the Addiction. He hits the Indie Taker. Also, Kazarian is potentially injured because he got dropped square on his head by Kenny Omega. During that Indie Taker, it looks like if you go back and you watch Kazarian's head, it's pretty gross.
Is Amell getting more into wrestling? Like, is he?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, I mean, well, he's always been a huge fan of wrestling.
You remember him with Cody Rhodes.
And it blows my mind how WWE, like, dropped the ball. You have a legitimate celebrity who gives a shit.
And was not terrible in the ring.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, no, we'd rather have Jeremy Piven jump off something. Like, why, though?
Why have Jeremy Piven do anything?
Amell also went through a table. Cause this was, I don't know if it was the same match, but it was the same show, I'm pretty sure, that Cody, put Christopher Daniels through the flaming table to where he had got those really gross burns on his back.
That was the night after.
Was it?
Yeah, cause Friday night was Stephen Amell. And then Saturday was that.
Okay.
Here's the Vigilante Club shirt.
I like that.
I'm buying it. All wrestling fans, 20% off Black Friday, prowrestlingtees.com.
Yes.
Aren't they also like donating the sales to that to something? I'm not sure. But yeah, so it was a noteworthy performance because he's an official member of the Bullet Club now. He's got his own.
Stephen Amell is official member of the Bullet Club.
Yeah,
he's eating Cracker Barrel with him.
So now there's the Arrow Club, there's the Villain Club, and the Bullet Club.
It's the Vigilante Club. Come on now, say it.
Sorry, the Vigilante Club.
I had it written down wrong, but
they're both good. Both good. Lucha Underground granting releases.
Yeah, so this is actually kind of. Last week or the week before, we talked about how they are stopping their, exclusive clause. Like, they're not making people only wrestle for Lucha Underground. They're letting them go elsewhere. And now they're also, apparently, that they're kind of let people know, like, hey, if you're unhappy with us, you can go. We will release you from your contract. All we ask is that you show up to the taping so we can write you off.
So they just don't disappear.
Yeah, which I think is totally fair and actually kind of respectable because Lucha Underground, which is owned by AAA, has been pretty notorious for their super shady practices the last couple of years. Like, that's why Ricochet has been not a free agent for so long.
Right.
Because he's been stuck with this Lucha Underground contract. And so now it looks like they're kind of making steps to kind of take better care of their people. Cause it also, Sami Callihan's part of that, whereas he just debuted on Impact too.
Yeah. And they make such a big deal of the story aspect of it. In Lucha Underground, it feels like a movie a lot of the time. So it makes more sense to be written off, to have your character written off, as opposed to just disappear. You would never watch a soap opera. You never watch Young and the Restless, and then one day you turn it on and Victor's not on there anymore. And you just go, where's Victor? He quit. You know what I mean? Like, that just wouldn't happen.
It's almost like McMahon, huh?
Or if but then at the same time, like, Two and a Half Men. Where's the one we know?
He died.
He got hit by a train. Oh.
Where's Ricochet?
But here's this new
guy. He got hit by a train.
That 70s show. Where's the one we like? He's teaching in Africa. But here's Seth Meyers' brother.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Eric Foreman went and taught in Africa because he got movie roles.
But didn't he come? He came back for the end, right? That's not the discussion.
I don't even remember. That's not the discussion. Ashton Kutcher also left, and it's just like,
Allie, you know this. You watched that 70s show, right?
I have not actually watched the last season in a long time.
Because it's so bad. It's
like Scrubs.
Yeah. Well, it could have been. This is another thing.
Another show. Another show, another time.
It gets a bad rap because they didn't call it something other than Scrubs.
Right.
They should have called it Sacred Heart Teaching Hospital.
After MASH. Anyway. Speaking of MASH and hospitals, I didn't know this either. Apparently Kamala was on life support.
Yeah, he was put on life support. He was in really, really bad shape. But just today, news broke that he was taken off of life support. He's breathing on his own. He is interacting with the doctors and nurses and his family and stuff. He's not able to speak yet, but he can at least, he's alert. And
he's responding.
He's responding. So he's got he's already lost both of his legs. Like, he's had a rough go of it. But it's nice to see him still fighting.
Yeah.
So.
And we wish him the best.
Absolutely.
We wish everyone the best. That brings us to, a message popped up. Dalton replied to something and it popped up right in my way. Thank you, Dalton. The New Japan Pro Wrestling Tag League begins.
Yes. That started this past weekend. There's some really interesting teams. We won't go super far into it. But it does feature the actual, debut in New Japan.
Besties?
Of, real best friends, Chucky T, Chuck Taylor.
That's not the one.
Cause he's teaming with, Trent Beretta. Jeff Cobb is making his New Japan Pro Wrestling debut and Sami Callihan. So Sami's just having a good couple months.
Yeah. WWE should sign him.
Which I'm excited. They should have done better with him when they had him.
Yeah.
But he's teaming with Juice Robinson, which I think is just like, I still haven't seen any of these matches, which I wanted to. I just haven't had a chance to yet. And then Cobb is teaming with Elgin.
Jeff Cobb and Michael Elgin?
Yeah.
Ooh. Team throw you around.
Al, you remember Jeff Cobb?
Yeah.
Now let me introduce you to Jeff Cobb's older little brother, Michael Elgin.
Yeah, it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. This one I love. This is great. Becky Lynch, Shawn Michaels, and The Miz to star in the Marine 6.
Gee, yep. That is amazing.
The franchise that won't die.
Which is why that's why The Miz lost on Raw, is because he's going to go film that full time.
Is that why did they write Becky Lynch out of SmackDown the same
they
reason?
Did,
but
yeah.
I mean, we didn't get like an injury update, but I'm willing to bet that they'll either bring that up or something will happen similar again this coming week.
To put her
and
out.
That's where it'll happen.
Quick show of hands. Who has ever seen a single Marine movie? I knew Dalton would raise his hand.
The first one.
The one with Cena, right?
And the one with DiBiase.
Was DiBiase in
that?
That
was the second one,
wasn't it? I think it was the second one.
But
that's Miz after that, right?
Yeah, Miz
DiBiase was second. Then Miz was third.
Actually, I think it was Cena. Anderson.
Wasn't Orton
Ken Kennedy.
In one?
Ken Kennedy was in one.
Orton was in 12 rounds, too.
Okay.
Yes.
But I just thought.
Wow. I am really upset that I know all this.
I just thought Orton was in one because everyone made such a big deal about his dishonorable discharge being in a movie called The Marine.
Shit.
I'm on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about The Marine.
But The Miz has done like at least three in a row, or this is either his third or his fourth.
He's really made it his franchise.
I mean,
which
kind
is
of.
Cool. Like, yeah. I'll never watch him.
Right.
There's only been one WWE produced film that I've ever liked, and that was Oculus.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even make that.
All right, so I'm not seeing The Marine at all. I'm seeing 12 Rounds 2 for Orton. 12 Rounds 2.
There was a teaching movie.
Countdown.
This is the Way I Am or something like that.
That's What I Am.
That's What I Am.
And The Condemned 2. I didn't know they did a second Condemned. Now, I will say, I watched 12 Rounds. Loved it. Watched The Marine. It was okay. Condemned. Awesome.
Have you seen Oculus?
No.
You don't like horror movies. That's right.
Yeah.
You ever seen See No Evil?
Yeah.
But you said you don't like horror movies.
Yeah, and... Okay. I watched it.
So you were right the first time. The Marine 1 was Cena. Marine 2 was...
Kennedy?
Was Ted DiBiase Jr. Okay. And then it's been Miz since then.
Which one was Kennedy?
What the hell was Kennedy in? You looked that up.
Behind Enemy Lines 2.
That's right.
Wow.
But
yeah, so look for the Marine 6, Close Quarters.
Coming soon to Walmart shelves.
You're not wrong.
All right, we talked about TakeOver. We talked about Survivor Series. Last thing, we're going to talk about Raw and SmackDown. We covered it a little bit. The big news to me, and I think you guys were, maybe
it's
not the biggest
news. There was the stuff, just real quick before we get into that, because this won't take long, I just want to mention.
Sure.
Watching the Bludgeon Brothers entrance, I'm super on board.
Really? I haven't seen any of it.
But take away the hammers, take away the name, just call them the Reapers. And do the exact same thing. You can even keep them in their knockoff Kane gear, but just, I loved the entrance. I love the music. I love that weird, not a razor, like a Razor's Edge powerbomb thing, like the two-man Spirit Squad lift.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Apparently they lost their first names too. They're just Harper and Rowan now, from what I read.
That wouldn't surprise me.
They've officially taken them off like Rusev and you know, those guys, which is,
as a tag
I like
team,
Luke Harper, but Eric Rowan always did sound a little soft.
As a tag team, it's okay, but if you split them up again, you can't just have Harper.
Rowan.
Yeah, or Rowan, yeah.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I want to like it a lot more. It's too campy.
Yeah.
And they're playing it too serious.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like Birdemic. Like, everyone laughs at it because it's so campy, but they thought it was so serious and good.
Yeah. Like,
they're not in on the joke.
Whoever wrote Bludgeon Brothers, like, yeah, oh, that's so awesome.
Give them a big hammer.
But it's that thing where it's like, and then you find your screen name from when you were 14, and you're like, oh.
Dark Harmony. That was mine.
Mm-hmm.
Juicebox 50.
Juicebox 50!
It just needs to, like,
I love it.
It just needs, like, the two X's on either end.
Forge 1
XX
and
Bludgeon Brothers
Ecstasy.
XX.
Yeah. What happened to Mojo Rawley, man? Like, and
who
I'm
cares?
Not, yeah, I'm not saying I'm not sad about it, but like,
he got pinned.
He got too hyped.
He didn't stay hyped for three.
They put him in timeout because he was too hyped and he just never recovered.
Gronk is in the middle of the season.
But
so
I'm being dead serious. Like they, for a while, they really felt like they were going to push Rawley again.
Yeah.
And
it happened.
They just killed him off.
It happened in NXT too.
I don't care about Rawley. I do care about Zack Ryder.
Well, it looks like they're splitting up. So because Zack Ryder, they yelled at each other. After SmackDown and
good because he's a dork.
Yeah,
Zach is. Raleigh's a dick. Dork and a dick. Paige came back.
Yes.
She made her big return. And what a crowd reaction for her, too. Mm-hmm. She looked amazing. And I said this earlier, not just like attractiveness, because she did look amazing, mm-hmm. but she just looked amazing. Like she looked, I forgot she was so tall and threatening looking. Mm-hmm. Like she looked really, really cool. Yeah. Crowd loved it. She had a great personality. I never thought I'd say it, but I really did miss Paige. I'm glad she's back.
No, yeah. Well, okay. So I was super excited because like I saw what happened on Raw mm-hmm. with Paige, and then she brings in
Mandy Rose.
And
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville, who I actually really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you know the connection there?
They're from Tough Enough.
Yeah, they're the two other people that are still working
Patrick,
for that.
Patrick Clark is the only male left from Tough Enough was the thing that I was thinking of. So
full circle.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I like that. I like the idea of having this just kind of like outsider, like I made my name in NXT. Like, I don't know what they're doing with it. My guess is it's like I made my name in NXT. So now I did this for you. And you forgot about me. No, like, I'm not on Total Divas anymore. You've totally written me off. So now I'm going to do it for them. And they're going to stay loyal to me. And I was like, okay. And just like, okay, that could work. If that's even what they're doing. Like, I'm not sure. We don't know what the story is yet. But they're just kind of running roughshod over the Raw women's roster.
So happy that she didn't act buddy-buddy with Alexa Bliss immediately. Yeah. Like, I assumed it was going to be one of those, like, oh, I'll keep my eye on you or something like that. No. They beat the crap out of her.
And then,
I thought, well, so is Alexa a face now? Because they could very easily turn her face. I think the crowd.
But don't.
Yeah.
But I think they could very easily. It's like, Ace Hawkins that we talked about. Mm-hmm. He does the same shtick in Illinois that he does in Missouri.
Except he gets cheered in Illinois. Except he gets
cheered. He changes like one thing. Right. Alexa Bliss, I think, is the same way.
But yeah, so that was super cool. And then on SmackDown, we get the same thing, except instead of Paige making her return, it's just Ruby Riott leading Liv Morgan and Sarah Lee.
Logan.
Not Sarah Logan. I did that again.
So you have the pale girl on Raw who introduces the hot blonde and her tough looking friend. And then on SmackDown, you have the pale girl debut with her hot blonde friend and the tough girl.
I'm actually like, the only thing is like, I'm kind of surprised they're putting Liv Morgan on the same show that has Carmella.
Yeah.
Just because. Like, at least the difference was Carmella turned heel eventually, whereas Liv Morgan was a face at the time.
And Liv Morgan has the worst music.
She has the worst intro. She has the worst intro to the music. I just can't hear anything past it because, like, my ears are bleeding after the yeah. Do 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 do.
That was a Venn diagram of shit.
But it's like, okay, so are they doing the evolution is taking over both shows? But
that's
like,
what I thought.
Like, is Paige behind all of this?
Or is Daniel Bryan?
But would he have it happen on Raw too? Like, does he have that pull as?
Well, I think if they're gonna, and I don't think this is true, but if I was playing armchair, you know, Booker, mm-hmm. And you have Daniel Bryan sowing his seeds everywhere to do like an NXT takeover or something of people that are underappreciated, mm-hmm. I think you could do that, but I don't think they will. Obviously, this is just me dreaming.
Well, and like everyone's kind of all up in a tizzy about like, oh, well, you know, the way he acted on Tuesday was pretty shady.
Yeah. It's like they're dropping hints about something.
They were dropping hints,
which is cool. I'm fine with them doing it. I'm interested. I'm actually interested to see where it goes.
Especially if they have kept it a secret for so long that he's cleared to wrestle, mm-hmm. and he has been putting fake directions out, like Jericho did with the TNA thing years ago, or Matt Hardy did, you know, years ago, and he actually does wrestle again, and they just fooled all of us for this long to get it ready. That will be one of the greatest wools over your eye of all time.
But still one of those things, that retirement speech.
It'd ruin it.
Yeah, like, man, they need to be trumpeting, like, as soon as they get that test back. Like, hey, we know this is what he said, and this is what we thought, but here is all of this other evidence that it's cool. And hype that up. Like, okay, he gets to wrestle. Like, have him off TV for a while. To do it as a surprise is just going to make me feel icky.
So you would hate it if he came back, beat someone up, and said, I don't care if they tell me no, I'm doing it anyway. Even if that's not true. You would hate that storyline.
My gut reaction says yeah. It's that thing where even after listening to hearing him talk about how he's better than they think he is, and he's gone to all of these other doctors, and they all say, you know, no, you're clear to compete. It's just that one, that speech. Just that hit me. And just like hearing him say that, you know, maybe I'm not as okay as I think I am. And like now he has a family. He has a wife. He has a daughter.
It was the picture afterwards.
Yeah.
Where he's crying and Bree's holding him.
And it's just like, man, I don't like, yes, it sucks that you're not like that you can't wrestle again. And you, that's all you want to do. And I do have that empathy, but I don't know. It's just that weird thing that once you've said that, you can't unsay it. And even if it is not, like, you know, even if it's not necessarily true and stuff has changed, that left an impact on at least me. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks that
No, it was definitive. It was final.
But I just mean, like, maybe I'm the only one who feels like, oh, well, because he said that, I don't really, really want to see him wrestle again.
Well, it's kind of like, do you think it's kind of, I think we've said this before, and it is different, obviously. But like Shawn Michaels, when he left for years, and I know it was a back injury versus brain. I get that. But just the fact that, for all intents and purposes, his career was over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back. You know, he gave his goodbye speeches and all that. And it, again, it is more serious when it's your brain than your back. But do you think it's similar to that? And he can bounce back. And if he can wrestle, have an extended career that is, you know, that doesn't impact his goodbye? Or do you think the goodbye will always loom over it?
I think the difference is HBK, when he left, he didn't actually definitively say, I am officially retiring from pro wrestling, because if I wrestle another match, I will never be able to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we heard Daniel Bryan say is, I have to officially retire from pro wrestling because if I wrestle again, I could die. Whereas HBK lost his smile.
Well, no,
that was
years
ago. I know that wasn't the same one, but like, I don't, and maybe I'm misremembering his retirement, but I don't think he had like an actual.
No, he was wrote off TV.
Yeah.
Because the following night's whenever DX got.
Because that was after the Tyson.
Yeah, it was right after that.
The awesome match.
To kind of tag up with like my opinion on it is, I was with you on the whole retirement speech, but after hearing him talk about it, and if everything he says is true about like, he's fine. Like, he's beat up over years and years of wrestling, but he can still go. Like, I'm okay with it at that point, because WWE wasn't letting him go to all those other doctors, and he wasn't able to get all the information.
They sent him to those doctors, and then they're like, oh, well, yeah, they said that, but...
Yeah, and it's... So, if he can wrestle, and he wants to wrestle, and he can do it, he thinks he can, that's awesome. But if WWE has literally been holding him in the back pocket for a year, shame on them.
Well, I think it would be more of a situation of maybe they finally did get the word. They had enough tests. They had enough people say, no, he's okay. That maybe recently, I would say maybe the past month, 2 months, couple of months, they've gone, maybe we'll consider this.
That interview that we are talking about was, that was last school year. So that would have been like 5-6 months ago.
But you can see them.
The Edge and Christian one?
Yeah.
But you can see them holding him off for months to get the best angle. I could. Like, I'm not saying it's, I don't know. It's his career.
For how reactionary WWE is, and, cause like Dalton was saying earlier, the ratings dip, Vince is on TV the next week.
Yeah.
If they thought for a second that they could get that huge moment, just
they wouldn't wait. They just pop it out.
They're not going to hold on, because look at the,
recent. Can I say recent?
Yeah.
Of, all right, Roman Reigns is sick, Bray Wyatt's sick, AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, come on.
No. Well, and I just mean like, you had an opportunity there, but like, look what they, you know, Roman versus Cena was at No Mercy.
Yeah.
That's a WrestleMania main event.
Right.
But they didn't want to wait for it. And, you know, it led to, you know, what we have now, which was fine. But you're never going to be able to have that moment of them going one-on-one for the first time.
Again.
So, I don't know. It's just, I don't think that they're holding on to it. Like, like I said, it's weird for me. I understand that I'm probably, like, in the minority of people who don't want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle again, but it's only because, like, you can't unring that bell for me. And it's just like, man, I believe you. I do, that you're probably fine, but it's always going to be in the back of my mind. Every single match, it's like watching Jay Spade wrestle. It's like, okay, I know you're really good at this. But every single time he does that thing where he like arches his back after landing, I'm like, he slipped a disc.
Yeah, I do have, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and if I see Bryan sell a head injury,
you're going to get freaked out every time.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that match because I'm going to be legitimately concerned that he's actually hurt. And not in a like, oh, I'm being sports entertained. Like, this is super entertaining. It's going to be like, I care about this human being and I don't want to see that, because you know that's what they're – if he wrestles in WWE,
they're going to the first match.
Every single match. Look at Triple H. Every time someone wrestles Triple H, they go after the quad.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels, his first year back.
Yeah.
his entire, his return run for 5 years. That was, they
explore
the fact.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and like I said, I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. Like, yeah. It's going to be hard for me to watch.
Cause what if he does get injured?
Yeah.
Yeah. What if one day it's not fake? You remember when Shawn Michaels did the, and Dalton, I know you're going to remember this. I know Allie's okay. not. No offense. This is just really old, but he like dumped Owen Hart out of the ring. And then he spun around to the camera, did his like pose, and then he kind of grabbed his head and fell down. And the last 15 minutes of the show was them wheeling Shawn Michaels out on a stretcher, and it was fake. It was all a gimmick. Yeah. But I was a little kid when that happened, and I really thought it had happened. And yeah, it when you play with people's emotions like that,
it's my least favorite thing in wrestling.
When they play with your emotions like that?
No, fake injury angles.
Yeah. Austin Lane,
and it's only because like, and I said it at CCW, and if anybody's listening, you don't think I hate you for doing it. It's my least favorite thing in wrestling is fake injury angles, because how many fake injury angles did we have at CCW? I counted 3 before, Billy had to be legitimately walked to the back
before Jackson Crowley broke his leg.
No.
You're talking about the same show.
No. That happened later. I'm talking about EC3 Billy.
Oh, gotcha.
Where he bruised his ribs, and then, Jackson Crowley broke his leg. A month later.
Yeah, and to the point that when I went back to tell the gang, hey, Jackson broke his leg, they kind of stared at me and were like, what, seriously? Like, yes, this isn't a gimmick.
Also, he broke his leg. The Daniel Bryan podcast with Edge and Christian was in August.
Was it?
August 18th.
That felt a lot longer ago.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way it's been that long.
My years meld together a little bit. I apologize.
Time passes quickly nowadays. But back to the original points, we don't have a lot of time, but I thought the Paige Redibby was good, and then I thought they sucked the air out of the room on SmackDown.
Well, and I don't even think it was that. It's just like, it's confusing that they're doing almost identical stories. And
it's way too similar.
And again, they have to be related.
Yeah.
There's no way you don't have 3 identical looking factions of NXT call-ups assault the established women's wrestlers.
Yeah. Right. All of them. From Alexa Bliss, Charlotte, Natalya, everyone.
It's the multiverse.
They started with Naomi.
Yeah.
And then Becky, and then interfered in that championship match with Charlotte and Natalya.
Which is the inverse of what happened on Raw.
Yeah. So it's clearly it's related. I'm genuinely excited to see where this is going.
I am too.
Same thing with like the Daniel Bryan stuff. Like even the.
You want to know where it's heading?
Yeah. Like this is probably. No, I'm not going to say that. But like it's. WWE TV is intriguing.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, some of it.
Yeah.
Some of it's not.
Also, we haven't gotten a chance to see it, but apparently the Pete Dunne, Johnny Gargano UK championship match aired on NXT tonight. It wasn't on the actual War Games show, but that's when it was filmed.
That's off the Sheezy.
Yeah. So I really need. I'm probably going to watch that tonight.
I'm going to go home and watch more Punisher. So let's do that.
I watched episode 3.
I really liked last night's episode. I can't tell you anything about it. But
like you said last night's episode. That aired last night.
No, it was 2 weeks ago's episode.
all right. So I we're out of time. We've been out of time.
Yeah.
So apologize to you guys. We talked. But you know, I think the best parts of our show is when we have a 20, 30 minute discussion about a topic that we don't all agree on. You know, I really do. Like I think a lot of people would say that their least favorite part is when it's a show where we all just like, yes, I agree. Yes. So it's good to have some
good game, team.
Also, Dalton, why did you stab this guy in the hand with a pencil?
I stabbed a guy in the hand with a pencil.
Podzilla 1985 just got a message from Robert Taylor.
That's the same one that was talking on me.
It was. And he went on to talk. He thanked us all for doing a great job.
Oh, cool.
He said, Ace and Shannon, especially when you talk about wrestling, I feel like I'm there with you. Then he went on to call you his greatest rival.
Uh-huh.
And I still have the mark on my hand when you stab me with a pencil. My vengeance with you is never over.
I think he reached for my phone in chemistry class when I was a sophomore, and it was my reaction, dude.
The story of Dalton versus Robert to be continued. Holy shit, you're gonna die.
Nah, I'm not. I've already stabbed him once. You think I'm afraid to do it again?
Jesus. He also said he's not great with names, but everybody else, I appreciate you on Podzilla. So, thank you. And by the way, we really appreciate messages like that.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Well, if I've stabbed you before, please bring it back up.
Minus the vaguely. How many people have you stabbed?
We'll find out through our Facebook page.
Minus vaguely threatening Dalton. We really appreciate these messages.
We're not gonna have a show tomorrow. We are taking the day off for Thanksgiving, and I really debated it. Yeah. I really did.
We might still do it.
I was going to say, like, if everyone's here and we, like, get on a topic of something, someone's going to say, pull out the table.
Yeah, but I thought that same thing on the 4th of July, and boy, did I regret it. that made me not want to do shows for a few days because I thought everybody just hated me because I wanted to do a show and no one else did. And I was wrong. Like, it was just my, you know, insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, insecurity. So.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you know now.
Well, I'm going to be messaging Podzilla in the future talking about the time Asa stabbed me. So don't count on a show tomorrow, but we'll see.
Yeah. Never say never.
Otherwise, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Eat some turkey. Have some fun. Be safe. Be careful. We'll be back on Sunday with Nerd Up, and we'll start the process next
also
week.
Just real quick before you end, this Saturday, if you're listening to this, yes, when it comes out, yes, CCW's last show of the year,
yes,
is in Delta, Missouri at the Delta Community Center. Not many tickets are available. You can maybe buy them at the door if you get there early. It's going to be an awesome show. We're all going
to
be there.
We have a limited supply at Gaming Grounds. Yes. If you're listening to this tonight and you need tickets.
It's going
to
be – I'm super excited for the show. It feels like it's been –
A year since the last
CCW show. So I'm super excited to see everybody again. Also, you know, like us on, we just got that awesome message. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
We've had a lot of new people add us on Facebook and we love it.
Yes. And if you're listening to this now and you are one of those people, thank you so much. Share it with your friends. We want to get as big as we can because that would be awesome.
Also, it makes us feel better.
If you want to support us, more than just the bare minimum of, you know, just listening and, you know, going to Facebook and liking us, you can go to patreon.com/Podzilla1985. We are working towards that new soundboard.
Makes us feel better.
Yeah, we have an actual goal that we're working on. So any little bit, we greatly appreciate.
You would not believe the cost monthly.
Yeah.
Of protecting Dalton, of getting Dalton bodyguards against people he stabbed in the past.
I don't know why we're buying them.
Or just wrestlers he insults. Because there's plenty of those.
Yeah, Billy, I've stabbed people. Legit.
Damn, Barry, calm down. From Detroit, I get it.
And then Podzilla1985.com, old episodes.
Yeah.
Sorted by, you can go back and
listen to last year's Thanksgiving episode.
No, that was 2 years ago.
Was that two years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because last year was like a Tanner Thanksgiving or Tanner's Giving or something.
Because I was on last year's show. The year before, I wasn't.
You were featured.
I was sitting next to the table.
The last half of that episode got okay.
Yeah,
the it first started half of that.
Like it was all in jest.
We wanted to do a bit, and it just didn't
Chad's
work.
Chad's fault.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, no, I'm thinking of the. Never
Which
mind.
Are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of the one where we did sarcastic Thanksgiving.
That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah. That was last year.
Yeah, no, don't listen to the.
We're talking about the one
two years ago.
That one should probably just get deleted. I'm not gonna lie.
Much like how America is progressing into, hey, maybe those jokes aren't funny. Those jokes weren't funny.
Also, they weren't funny at the time.
They weren't. No. They were never funny.
They were funny to like one person.
They're not funny now. They also weren't funny then, but they're not funny now. All right. That's all. Happy Thanksgiving. And, yes, Dalton, say happy Thanksgiving.
I'm gonna stab some turkey.
Happy Rusev Day.
Oh. Before we go, have you seen the video of Rusev playing 2K18?
Go to my Facebook page.
No.
It is so good. Because
I shared it.
If the McMahon see this video, he might not work there anymore. Cause he goes pretty hard on that. Do that on Thanksgiving. And then eat some turkey.
Have a great night. I'm thankful for Rusev Day.
We all are. Yes. Allie, say goodnight.
Good night.